It's said that data has replaced oil as the world's most valuable resource. But with our increasing reliance on data stored remotely in the cloud and the growing threat of climate change, the resilience of the internet and access to our data is at risk. WBUR's Bruce Gellerman reports a Massachusetts startup is pioneering efforts to make the internet more resilient to climate disruption. And that's as federal researchers work to pinpoint places where the web is weakest.
Urban planner Duane Verner was fortunate. When the COVID-19 pandemic closed his office in Illinois last year, he was already working remotely from home. Unfortunately, what wasn't working was his internet connection.
We finally got to the point where we had the best technician, the most senior guy come out, and he was able to diagnose the problem, and it was flooding.
Unusually heavy winter snow and spring rains disrupted the fiber optic box connecting Verner and his neighbors to the internet. Ironically, Verner deals with disaster planning and infrastructure resiliency at the Argonne National Lab in Illinois. It's part of the Department of Energy. Verner says we've been building the internet infrastructure of the future using systems designed to withstand the climate of the past.
And as the climate is changing and we are stressing these systems in ways that they've never been stressed before and they were never designed, increased precipitation and flooding in areas that never used to flood, that's where the resilience of the internet would be most susceptible, most vulnerable.
Much of the internet hangs by a thread, thin glass or plastic fiber optic threads. A single cable can include hundreds of threads and transmit terabytes of data to the cloud, remote storage sites. But while the cables are wrapped in protective coverings, they can be vulnerable to extreme weather.
When we think about the internet, it's a sense that these ones and zeros are all traveling almost magically through the air.
Stephen Flynn is founding director of Northeastern University's Global Resilience Institute.
But the reality, it is moving through a physical infrastructure, and the vulnerability of those key assets and what can be done to safeguard it is a very important priority because we're now so very, very dependent on the internet for virtually every aspect of our lives.
After Superstorm Sandy in 2012, it took days to restore internet service to some sites on Wall Street, and parts of Puerto Rico were without internet for months after Hurricane Maria in 2017. Stephen Flynn says the greatest danger of climate disruption is to so-called mission-critical or lifeline internet control systems.
Such as the need for water, the need for power, need for telecommunications, and so forth. We really have to make sure that they're able to provide some level of essential function no matter what comes our way. That's a new mindset we have to really embrace.
Natalie Hill-Treat has embraced that mindset. She says she had to.
We are, to our knowledge, the only independent field monitoring network surrounding a nuclear plant.
Treat is executive director of Amesbury-based C10, an organization formed in the 1990s by citizen activists living within 10 miles of the Seabrook nuclear power plant. C10 monitors Seabrook's radiation emissions, wind speed, and direction in real time, 24/7. The devices at 18 secret locations are linked to the internet by fiber optic cables.
We need uninterrupted power supply as well as internet to keep operating. With the impacts of climate change and more flooding and storms, it's all the more important to have eyes and ears on the safety of the plant and upgrade the system.
Treat says in October 2019, the day before C10 was scheduled to ask state officials for funds to make their monitoring network climate resilient, a fierce storm lashed the coastline.
We had one of these bomb cyclone weather events, and I believe six of our stations were knocked out. Some of them were down maybe for a few days until Mike could get them all up and running. And that was another wake-up call to say, okay, when we have severe weather, we want to keep monitoring.
Mike is Michael Manser, C10's network administrator.
This is the real-time monitoring, and this is the heart of the network right here.
Manser points to a white dot on a computer screen. It's the Seabrook nuclear plant. Surrounding it, C10's remote monitoring sites.
We have lost internet at various locations. And I actually have two stations that went down last night that I have to try and troubleshoot. I'm assuming that there's a network issue.
Creaky but solid wood steps in an old Amesbury mill building lead up to one of the Seabrook monitoring stations.
This would probably be an ideal location for the battery backup unit to be installed in.
C-10 is seeking support from the state and local donors to make its nuclear radiation monitoring network resilient to climate change.
Okay. They just asked that nobody get too close to the roof's edge. A little scary up here sometimes.
From up here, you can see an antenna on Powwow Hill, the highest spot in the area.
This is our radiation probe right here. And then if you look up here, our anemometer.
The plan is to connect the network wirelessly using radio transmitters powered by solar panels backed up by batteries, bouncing data to the Hilltop Tower and back to C-10 headquarters. It was designed by David Theodore, co-founder of Climate Resilient Internet. The company is based in Cohasset.
Because somebody had to solve this problem where the digital age is meeting the fury of climate change. In terms of solving the problem, it's not even new technology.
Back in the 1950s, 60s, and 70s, radio waves were used to carry telephone calls across the country. David Theodore's solution is back to the future. Use these same radio frequencies as backup wireless links, connecting users to their data stored in the cloud.
Because don't forget, if Boston, for instance, lost internet and cloud access for weeks, we're the region's economic hub. And so the ripple effect would be tremendous. I mean, there'd be billions of dollars of losses, and it would be hard to come back from that.
That's why Northeastern University's Stephen Flynn says we should build the internet of the future with the expectation that climate change will disrupt it.
So you actually have in the design the means to essentially get it back up and running again. And those are design things that we have the engineering and the science know how to do. The market, though, hasn't rewarded us making the investment to do that.
The Argonne National Lab has teamed up with AT&T, the government providing supercomputers and advanced climate change models, the internet service provider furnishing detailed maps. The goal, says Duane Werner of Argonne, is to predict and pinpoint internet vulnerabilities globally and locally.
We're all vulnerable. We all need to think about how we can have backups within our own houses and then building up from there.
We can hope for the best, but the rapidly changing climate requires us to prepare for the worst. For 90.9 WBUR, I'm Bruce Gellerman.